Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
All right, there's a point in every story where that first domino falls. Okay, sometimes you hear it click and sometimes you don't. Mine kind of started out and sounded like a $39 charge from LA Fitness, followed by a Facebook video of a 5-year-old girl named Carolyn, not in that specific order, and the scrape of regular rubber soles on tennis shoes against granite halfway up Stone Mountain on an ordinary evening back in 2014. Okay, so welcome back to another episode of This With Chris Show, conversations at the crossroads of faith, culture, and pretty much everyday choices that shape who we become. Now, I'm your host, Chris Dokia, and today's episode is the origin story and the first of a mini-series that I've waited more than a decade to put together, right? This first episode is about the unlikely and, I guess, unplanned day I decided to start climbing Stone Mountain, right, in Georgia. Now, I didn't know that it would change my life completely, okay, but guess what? It did. Now, this first episode of this mini-series is dedicated to and in honor of a young man, Colton Moore, who finally went to be with Jesus a few days ago, right, after a 13-year battle against cancer. I had the privilege of meeting him all those years ago and staying in touch with him over the years. We would have a lot of banter back and forth about college football. And even though I'm a Georgia fan, for Colton, roll tide. You will be sincerely missed. Yeah, pretty heavy. So I'm going to get into the story. Now, to set the stage, it was back in Atlanta, Georgia, in the spring of 2014. I think it was April. It was April. At this point, I'm about a year and a half into my sobriety from alcohol. That's 18 full months of me saying no to that old life of, you know, partying and having fun. And yes, saying yes to early mornings, clear decisions, and taking one day at a time. It's funny. And by funny, I don't mean ha-ha. I mean the kind of funny where you kind of wake up one day and you realize you've rebuilt this house of your life. But you haven't yet hung anything on the walls, right? It's like an empty house. Or not a well-decorated house. You get the analogy, okay? So by day, I was this real estate marketing director of one of the fastest growing firms in the city, you know, getting to the office each day and answering emails really fast and faster, even faster deadlines, and drinking more coffee than any single person should, right? I've got my own, you know, little pad in the city. I've got a fridge fully stocked with groceries. And Sunday mornings for me was to go to church. And then after church, hitting up the farmer's market. I lived out in Grant Park area. You know, just having this life with no apologies. I stopped dating during that time of that season of my life, and was truly 1000% focused on putting energy back into being this healthy human, right? On paper, I was financially stable, I was career driven and on this upward trajectory as a pseudo respectable member of society. And in my heart, right, if you've ever felt this, it was like this, the faintest rattle that you get when you have a box, right, that isn't quite full, doesn't have any packaging, and you know that something's missing, right, and it's all shifting around. And that's kind of how I felt, right? That's, again, I'm full of analogies today, I'm sorry. Look, I remember the rhythm, right, of work in my life, and, you know, the strategy decks and listing launches and open houses, builder meetings, and agent trainings, and man, I loved the work, right? I loved the speed, the challenge, the puzzle of matching a story to a neighborhood and a neighborhood to a family. That was real estate, and I loved it. But every once in a while, right, I'd get in the elevator and, you know, the elevator doors would close and I'd catch my reflection and think to myself, okay, Krish, yeah, you're living, but are you living on purpose? And that is sobriety's gift and its challenge, right? It hands you back so many more hours than you ever thought you had, right? The question becomes is, what will you do with all those hours? One afternoon, I remember my around that time, my sister had shared this Facebook post, okay, of this little girl named Carolyn, who, you know, lived out in Pensacola, Florida. She was 5 years old, and she was the same age as my niece, and that means something, so I'll get to that in a second. But she had Ewing sarcoma, and if you don't know it, it's a rare and brutal bone cancer, right? And so I kind of tapped the video, and I start watching it, okay? And, you know, the video, her father, Jeff, shout out to Jeff. Love you guys. You're awesome. But he had shared this video. And, you know, I won't describe it in detail because some moments aren't meant just for rebroadcast, right? But they're meant for response. But you should know, right, in this video, Carolyn is crying. There's a needle. There's this hospital room that, you know, tries and fails to feel warm, right? And I feel my whole like body just like kind of wince because it was hard to watch. It wasn't graphic at all, but it was just like it's when, you know, there's a punch in your gut, right? When the pain crosses from that screen and kind of lands on you in your heart. It's part outrage. It's part helplessness. And because of that small town connection, right? So my brother-in-law and Carolyn's mom went to the same high school. So now this didn't feel like someone just out there in the world. It felt like this kind of like family that was 3 degrees away. I don't know. It's hard to explain, right? And I sit with it, right? And the video ends, but the ache doesn't ache. That doesn't go away. Okay, I'm just sitting there, kind of like I was at my desk in my office. I remember watching it. And so my question to you is like, have you ever had a moment where your life is divided into before you saw something and after you saw it? And I think a lot of you would probably agree today in real time, you know, the Charlie Kirk thing is probably the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I'm sure a lot of you would weigh in on that kind of. But this was mine, right? I'd watched it, and, you know, as you all know, I don't have a medical degree. I don't run some sort of foundation. I'm just a marketing guy, right, at that point, and with a gym membership who clearly I didn't use, and a calendar that I had suddenly had so much more room and room for meaning, right, because I had all these hours for my sobriety. But I don't know this, right? I can't unsee Carolyn. I can't unfeel that pull on my heart. And I don't know how to react and respond. So a few days go by. And I remember, you know, I was checking my bank account in the morning. And I saw, I looked at my bank account. And I had an auto draft for $39 from LA Fitness. Okay. And I'm going to digress a little bit. LA Fitness, if you're listening, I love you guys. I love Lifetime better. But we need to talk about your cancellation policy, okay? It's like a gym-themed escape room. You can only cancel if you break into LA Fitness, right? And solve the riddle of the front desk and answer like three impossible to answer questions. And you can only do it if that one person who has authority to cancel your membership is working that weird schedule, like 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. or something. Anyway, I digress. It was a joke. But you know what I mean. If you know, you know. Now, listen, I hadn't been in months, right? So it felt like I was paying for a relationship where we both just agreed to ignore each other. That charge, that $39 charge, it was kind of the nudge. I thought, nope, not today. And I drove over in person. I parked. I walked past the posters promising, those summer abs in 6 weeks. And I said the words that sounded like freedom. Okay. Excuse me, I'd like to cancel my gym membership. And the staff was nice. I was nicer. Mutually agreed that, you know, I would no longer finance their fluorescent lighting and the summer ab posters. All right, so I stepped back outside, and this membership, this gym I had to go to was all the way out in Ansley Park, which was the closest one to Grant Park where I lived. And I stepped back, right, into the sunlight. I kind of feel lighter, not because, you know, $39 had changed my life, but because I made this micro decision that aligned with my reality, right? I wasn't using it. And suddenly that money, that time, that little slice of attention, it just changed things for me. So I don't know, $39. Look, later that day, I started to get worried. And, you know, when you get sober, you start getting into your feelings and into your head a lot, right? So I started to get worried that, man, I prematurely canceled this LA Fitness membership that I didn't use. So I started thinking to myself, I said, man, summer is coming and I need to figure out a way to kind of look, get back into shape and drop some poundage. So I had this itch to get outside and partake in, you know, some fitness things. And so I considered going out to the Beltline. I always had something going on there, but I didn't. I also had this weird feeling from watching that Facebook post, right? So I knew I needed to get outside and breathe. There was no plan. It wasn't like I was trying to find a new outdoor regimen, right? I just needed some air. And that kind you don't have to, you know, the kind that you don't have to, like, I guess, share with a treadmill indoors. And so if you live in Atlanta and you want to kind of get a dose of some fresh air and some sky, that kind of feels like a reset, you go to Stone Mountain, right? Or Kennesaw Mountain if you're on the other side of town. And so I'm on Highway 78 heading east, right? Windows cracked on my four-door Volvo station wagon. The city is behind me. And if you've driven this route, you'll know that, you know, when you look in that rearview mirror, it displays the greatest views of the skyscrapers of Atlanta kind of behind you. That was awesome. And as I'm driving and stuck in a little traffic, I start to again think about that video I watched, about how my niece is the same age as Carolyn, and about how, you know, at 5 years old, it should mean, like, you know, playing with Barbie dolls or cars, if you know, or outside getting scrapes on the playground, but not being in a hospital being poked and prodded with needles. Right, so I pull into the Stone Mountain Park, and I bought myself an annual pass, which was cheaper than a 1 month membership that I didn't use at LA Fitness. Anyway, as I pull into the parking lot, right at the base of that the walk up trail, and if you've been, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If not, please do definitely make a plan to go at some point. Right, but there were families with strollers, couples taking selfies, and runners who look like they've been running their entire lives. There's this beautiful breeze, the kind that, like, you know, kind of affirms and, you know, confirms with you, man, you picked a good day to go climb. Anyway, it was kind of like later in the afternoon, later evening almost. It was probably like 5 or 6 in the spring, so it's starting to get a little darker, but not really yet. sun hadn't set yet, I don't think. But like, if you've never climbed Stone Mountain, let me paint it out for you, okay? Stone Mountain is...
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying D.C. politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
A giant piece of granite, like it's just a big old rock, and it pretends to be a mountain, and it really gets by with that, right? It looks and feels like a mountain. The mountain has some interesting history, some good, some bad, and I'll be sure to add more about that in some of the subsequent episodes. Sorry about the lighting today. It's kind of weird. Listen, the walk-up trail, like now I'm trying to make myself lighter, sorry. The walk-up trail starts under these like super tall Georgia pine trees. It's cool, it's shaded, and then sort of like kind of opens out onto this huge slope face that kind of looks like God was experimenting with one of those pizza stones, right? You know how they get kind of smooth? Anyway, like I start up, nothing heroic. I'm just wearing my regular Nike tennis shoes and but no fancy gear, right? I'm not wearing like hiking boots. There's no poles. There's no backpacks with those little water contraptions on it. It's just me and the rock. And there's a part early on in the hike that kind of it has an incline that surprises you. The kind of incline that makes you have a quick, quiet meeting with your calves and with God about the expectations of completing this hike, okay? And it's not super difficult, but it makes you think it is. I remember passing groups of teenagers and families, and a dad with a toddler on his shoulders. I remember couples holding hands, negotiating with each other. It's like, whose idea was this, right? As they're coming down, I'm like looking at their faces saying, if they can do it, I can do it. But I remember that climb. I was like, man, how far is this? Like, I don't remember it being this long. And I had climbed a couple of times over the years, 20 years or so. I'd probably climbed it 5 times. So this was, it had been a while. But I hit this part of the trail, right, where there's a rail, that rhymes, the section where the slope is steep enough that there's a handrail bolted into the rock. Okay, now you put your hand on that cool metal and you feel that steady truth of physics. It's harder to slide backward when you're holding on to something. Okay, halfway up, I stop to catch my breath, but not because I wanted to, right? Because my lungs, filed a polite complaint with my body, and I turned around and, took my... Took a few minutes to like catch my breath and I turn around and take in that beautiful kind of start of the sunset that was happening. And I wasn't too, it's called a halfway point, but it wasn't truly the halfway point. It's like 2/3 of the way. Anyway, as I'm looking out, the city is just there, right? It's this blue haze, outline of downtown Atlanta, like teeth on the horizon, trees for miles. There's a lake kind of at the base of the mountain that's starting to catch this cotton candy sunset that's happening. My phone is in my pocket, and if you know me, that's a miracle in itself that I didn't pull it out to start taking pictures. I just stand there and kind of let my heart slow down enough to hear it. Right, I think about Carolyn in that video. I think about the needles and the small hands and big fights. I think about my own sobriety and how, one day, you decide you're done buying your own hurt. And then one day turns into a year and a half, right? And I'm living this different life. And then I have the simplest, clearest thought that I'd had in a long time. Not in that motivational kind of post way, not like the posters at the LA Fitness, it was in the most literal way, right? And I'll share more on that in other parts of this series on how a simple thought changed something. But Look, anyway, I get to the top of the mountain, okay? The granite of the mountain flattens out like this moon. If I ever knew what the moon looked like in real person, it would probably be that. There are even these cool, like, moon-looking craters. You know what? Come to think of it, maybe that's where they shot the filming of that fake moon landing, I think to myself, right? look, people are scattered across the top of the mountain, right? Some are taking photos, some lying down where they're kind of trying to iron out the stresses of their week. Some are even doing yoga. I kind of walk to the edge. There's this this big rock. And again, if you know it, you know it, and you kind of can stand on it and take a picture. It looks like you're floating. But anyway, I stand there and I catch that first full shadow of that cotton candy sunset dragging, right? Across the trees. I begin thinking how, man, God made all of this, because it sure is an incredible sight to see. On the way down, right, this is where my thinking happens, right? I start thinking more about life. Again, if you've climbed up the mountain, you know it's a different challenge getting up that mountain, but going down the mountain is a completely different obstacle, right? You kind of have to step carefully because, you know, gravity is honest, and I've seen so many people in the past take a tumble. And as I progress and start climbing through these challenges that I'm going to share with you guys, I kind of start remembering rocks. It's pretty wild. And anyway, I start thinking about the past few days, right? Finally canceling the LA Fitness membership. And I don't know why that $39 is so important to me, but I think for several months I've been looking at it come out every month, and I was like, I got to do something about it, right? Also start thinking about this little girl's fight with cancer and my random decision that day to go outside and hike the mountain. Right. And then being rewarded with that beautiful view on top. I get to the bottom and sit on this wall that's near the bathrooms. It's at the base of the trailhead. Right. And my shirt is damp from sweat. Don't worry. My legs have that warm, numbing feeling of all the effort I just put in. The park lights kind of flick on. Right. Like someone just is whispering. Okay, wrap it up, right? You know how, like, when you're in a restaurant and they flick the lights? I don't know. And I kind of decide, without calling it a decision, without making a spreadsheet about it, that I'm going to come back to climb the mountain. Not to do anything other than to just come back and climb, not to post a selfie, but to give myself that time that I kind of need. I really enjoyed it. It felt so good. You know, while it wouldn't be for maybe another month or so before I start climbing the mountain, right, for the 190 challenge, and to honor this young lady named Carolyn, it was the first real thought I had about it. That was the very first time. I wanted to turn that ache of not knowing what to do, right, about childhood cancer specifically, into doing something. And on that drive home, I'm quiet, right? There's a lane of traffic to my left, another lane of traffic to my right. And in the middle, right, is a lane of purpose opening up. And that night, I went to sleep, you know, with a peace that I hadn't felt in some days and some months even. Not because I had solved pediatric cancer. God, I wish that was the case. But because I had marked a starting line for myself, right, on how I was going to do something. I didn't know what I was going to do at that point. Now, here's what that first climb taught me, right? Lessons that didn't sound like lessons at that point, right? Sometimes the door to meaning is truly disguised as an errand, like for me, to cancel a gym membership, right? That gym ACH draft pushed me to act. That act cleared space, and that space welcomed me to a mountain that I didn't know I was going to climb, right? Seeing that video of Carolyn, right, broke something open in my heart. When you witness suffering, you're handed two choices. One, you can harden up, or two, you soften toward action. Right? I wasn't sure what action was even yet, but I knew it wasn't doing nothing. Okay. I had sneakers, I had a car, and extra time in my schedule, right? An evening. And that was just enough. The myth that you need a perfect plan keeps more lives stuck at the base of that mountain than attempting a steep incline. Okay. For me, I put all stock in that it was God's plan, by the way. Like, I used to say to myself, someday I'm going to get in shape. Someday I'll give back. Someday I'll find clarity. Someday has a really funny habit of dying out, right? Forgotten about. Today is the only day that will ever answer you back, right? After sobriety, right? One of the things I experienced is that my body becomes a little skittish, okay? Or became a little skittish at that point. But it remembers all the chaos, right? Climbing gave my body a new script, right? We do hard things, we breathe, we keep moving, and then you're going to be okay. And that was part of my, experience that I needed to experience with sobriety, at least. Look, I didn't know that one single day, right, that I'd set goals with numbers and time frames and community. I didn't know who would meet me on that mountain. Hint, I did meet my wife on top of that mountain the following year. I only knew I'd be there one step, one climb, one prayer at a time. And that's the honest truth. It was just one step at a time. So listen, that's the day it all started, right? That's the first grain of sand in the hourglass. There are so many stories to come around Step Up, Be a Voice, around the 190 challenge, the 1,180 challenge. That I did those years, there, you know, the people that I met on those hikes and those challenges, the days and the kids and the parents and the families that I met, the days the weather tried to like knock me out of the count, the way a simple climb turned into a movement, Step Up, Be a Voice, but also a movement within my heart with a name and a mission. For now, I'll leave you with this, right? If there's a mountain in your life, literal or otherwise, maybe today is the day you just go, right? You don't need perfect gear. You don't need press releases or TV interviews. Just step up, right? Maybe, like me, you'll find that one thing that is missing in your life, right? And you'll realize it wasn't more stuff, right? It was a sense of direction. This is This With Chris show, right? If this story has moved you, share it with a friend, someone that maybe needs to nudge to start. Maybe someone just wants to learn about pediatric cancer. This specific mini series is going to, I'm going to be sharing a lot more content, information, and stories. Follow this show on Spotify so you don't miss this next chapter. Please subscribe on YouTube as well. I'll be posting some photos on the Facebook page. So find us there, This With Krish. Drop comments, ask questions, right? This next episode will be launching tomorrow. And we'll be covering a myriad of things, really picking back up, right? Right where we've left off today. Now I have this idea, and I'll share how it turns into kind of a rhythm, how strangers on the trail become partners in the purpose, and how this five-year-old fighter named Carolyn quietly refocused the compass of my life, and some stories and pictures of many of the children that I've worked with over the years. So, as always, I love you guys. Thank you.